Now, VOA Africa's special coverage of the historical NBA Basketball African League Championship Games in Rwanda. Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is Prince Nesta broadcasting from Washington. Welcome to VOA Africa's special coverage of the Basketball African League taking place in Rwanda. I talked African basketball with my halftime and postgame show co-host VOA super producer Mukbili Abaru, who shared with me his thoughts on Wednesday's BAL quarterfinal games at the Kigali Arena.
Yes, so there's going to be tough matchups in this quarterfinals. You know, Mukbili, ASL takes on Petro. Are these sort of, you know, the teams that you'd expected, first of all, to qualify to the quarterfinals?
I feel as though every team in this tournament has played extremely well. If it were up to me, you know, I'd say everybody took their best shot, and you kind of have to deal with what came of it. Some of these teams, unfortunately, were in tougher groups, and, you know, they might not have come out as maybe they would have liked to. You know, a team probably that a lot of people were expecting to have come out was the Nigerian River Supers, you know, as they are giants on the continent. But that's a part of the game sometimes, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And it was a tough competition, especially for teams that, you know, really found it hard to get going as far as the group stages were concerned. You know, I'm actually a little surprised. I mean, for ASL, for me and Petro and, you know, Zamalek, the North African teams and, you know, the Angolan team, I had expected them for sure to, you know, proceed to the next level. Moving on to the next match, which, you know, I think this one's actually going to be proving to be quite a cracker, honestly, which is going to be ASL against Petro. Goodness, man. What do you think about it?
Man, honestly speaking, this was the very last game that either team played against each other for what we consider to be bragging rights coming out of the group. And it was a very close game for the entirety of the game up until maybe the fourth quarter, where by Petro just decided, hey, this has been fun going back and forth. It's time for us to really turn up. And they did. You know, they have a solid play from so many of their stars, entirely too many to mention, you know, but honorable mentions to John Pedro, who I feel like is their heart and soul of that team, who does a little bit of everything. And Cipriano really showed out when it came to the three-pointers. He has about, I believe, 9 three-pointers throughout the entirety of the three games in the group stages. And he gave quite a few to ASL in that last game. You know, the veteran just knowing where to be, when to be, spacing out the flooring the right way. So, yeah, I feel like Stoglin and Rashad James have a lot to – they have a lot to prove, you know, and they have, if they watched the highlights of that game correctly and watched film, they would know what it is that they need to do in order for them to win. Because it wasn't that they were out of the game, you know, they were in that game. They were leading in portions of that game. So they have the ability to not only stick with this Petro de Luanda team, but they have potential to beat them. But they're going to need play from the other ASL teammates. You know, their bigs have to get involved in the game, which they started to wake up in the second half, but a little bit too late. You know, getting everybody involved early on in the game is really gonna be what it takes for this team to win. Because if I remember correctly, you had Rashad James go for 17 in the first quarter. He's really hot, but when you have one player dominate that much and not get anyone else involved offensively, it becomes problematic for the other players to try to get in a groove. So I would say, hey, Stoglin and Rashad James, we know you guys are proven scorers, but how about you all get everybody else involved, get everybody else hot. Second half, you know, these guys, they don't need any assistance to score. You know, you give the ball to Stoglin, he's going to score himself. You give the ball to Rashad, they're very good isolation players. Some other players, though, they need the involvement of their teammates to get them involved, especially the bigs. Dish it down there, have them score easy buckets. when you have a player that's scoring offensively, it gets them excited to play defense. And that's what really what you're going to need from the AS Valley side.
It's going to be fast and furious for sure. You know, and you know, what really amazes me as far as the Petro side is concerned is kind of balanced team, as you rightfully mentioned. You know, they don't depend on just a couple of players, you know, like a two-man team such as ASL. You know, and their speed with the ball, their movements, even when they don't have the ball, you know, their ball distributions, their handling ability, you know, their shooting ability, it's, you know, like out of this world, honestly. And John Pedro, goodness me, the guy is on another level, man. I mean, he's been a player of the match for like, you know, 2 out of the 3 games that he's played. And, you know, they're going to be banking on Olympio Cipriano, Carlos Moraes, and Antoine Scott. Antoine Scott actually came out big for them in the game against FAP, you know, where they won 66-64, and he was behind their stellar performance in that particular match. He scored a game-high 23 points. He shot 9 for 12, you know, including 4 for 7 from beyond the arc, which is really, really critical, and he's going to be a critical player for them. And so how important are three-point plays in this particular match?
I think, as we've seen in their first duel between these two teams, three-point play was the arguably one of the deciding factors as to how Petro de Luanda just got an extreme lead, you know, in the fourth quarter. I would say it's key, but at the end of the day, you still have the ability to win this game without having to have amazing three-point play if you do everything else correctly. But like you said, you have a guy like John Pedro. Cumulatively, he's at 41 points for the 3 games. I believe he's at like 37 rebounds, 4 blocks. The guy's doing it all. But then you also have on the other side, Antoine Scott, as you mentioned, who's also averaging a double-double, right? Not averaging double-double, sorry. He's in double digits in so many categories between the 3 games. He has 33 points. 10 assists. He has 7 steals in the game. So he's very active on defense. And another thing that we haven't been mentioning is, you know, we're giving tips to the AS Valley side on them needing to play better defense. But the Petro de Luanda side, they already play amazing defense, right? And that allows them to get these fast break points because of how their hands are moving. When I said Antoine Scott with 7 steals, Dundao with 6 steals, the guard, you know, Moraes with 6 steals, Gonclaves, 3 steals, Ryan Richards, their big man, has 3 steals. It's like these guys are playing really, really good defense, blocks everywhere. So, you know, they say defense wins championships, really. So, if that holds true, it's going to be a very long night for AS Valley.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, we're going to be shooting 3 points, you know, getting rebounds and, of course, you know, having fantastic commentating movements together with you in this particular quarterfinal clashes right here on The Voice of America. And so remember Coach Neto, who's actually from Brazil. He's been, you know, coaching, very experienced coach. He's been coaching the Petro side. And, you know, he has experience even at the international level. And, you know, he's coached Angola from World Cup qualifiers, has really been critical, the Brazilian team. You know, do you think experience matters in this context? Because if you look at, you know, teams such as Petro, who are really, really experienced as far as winning continental championships is concerned. You know, they really have an experienced coach, experienced players. Do you think, how will experience be really critical in this? Because looking at the other side, you look at Stoglin. He has international experience, great player. You look at Rashad James. Experienced player, you know, taking their performance to a whole new level, plus, of course, a bunch of other, you know, ASL players. How important will experience be as far as this particular context is concerned, especially in the quarterfinals where, you know, you blink and you miss the link?
Right. I like that. I think experience is key, really. One could argue that Rashad James has one of the most biggest experiences. He played for the U.S. national side, actually, as well. He's a very poised player. Think, though, the Pedro side, the Pedro de Luanda side, their coaching is doing a great job, especially in this last game between ASL and them. If I were the coaching staff of ASL, there's no way I allow Rashad James, this poised, experienced player that goes off for 17 in the first quarter, to then only have, I believe, 5 points for the rest of the game, because you put him in a rotation that doesn't allow and let him, you know, continue to do what he has been doing. So if a player is going off for 17 in the first quarter, you have to then allow this player, until he shows you some levels of him being gassed out, you have to kind of ride his wave. He really was super hot. I remember you saying his hands were just on fire, you know? if I'm the Pedro de Luanda side, I really am excited about what my coaching staff has been able to do for us, making sure we stayed in the game, calling the right calls, the right timeouts at the right moments, and having experienced players as well that were poised enough to feel comfortable even being down by a few, and not letting the anxiety set in because you've been such a dominating team, and feeling the level of fear that you potentially could lose a game. I think Petro, they are very well coached, and they have a lot of experience on the floor at any given time. So that makes them more difficult to beat.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, Yassin El-Mahsini, Zakaria El-Masbahi, you know, will really have, and Zakaria El-Masbahi actually is one of their great, great players. I mean, he's 42 years old, for goodness sake, but, you know, very, very experienced, and, you know, one of their key players. And, you know, hopefully he's going to be back in this particular fixture, and we'll see how that goes. Well, we just can't wait, you know, for the quarterfinals clashes. All these teams really wanting to win so that they can proceed into the semifinals. And I'm sure there's going to be, like, great cash prizes and, you know, the bragging rights as far as, you know, who actually finishes in the top four is concerned. And so we'll wait and see how that goes. Your predictions, real quick.
Man. You know, you try to get me there. That was a good one. You know, predictions are dangerous because they have a hype. You know, the only thing that's certain about predictions is that, you know, you make the predictions and that's about it. You know, you have a very, very big chance of not being of not being right, especially with the level of talent that we have and it being knockout phase. And it's, you know, it's easier to predict when it's games like a playoff series in the NBA, for instance, where a team has to win four games out of seven. when it's a one game knockout, it's very challenging. I'm gonna have to stay away from making predictions on this one. But if I were to say a team like that has not really shown any challenge in a sense, I would say it's the Tunisian side. Monastir has played an arguably perfect game, and to me, the most exciting player so far in the tournament is Wael Araghchi, their point guard, the Lebanese point guard, and he's phenomenal. They have so many key players that can go off at any given time, but they are just such a poised team. I really like the U.S. Monastir side.
That's my basketball buddy and super producer Mukbili Abaru, my co-host during VOA Africa's special live coverage of the Basketball African League. The National Basketball Association on Monday announced the formation of NBA Africa, luring investors and former players in the venture, including Dikembe Mutombo, Grant Hill, Junior Bridgman, and Luol Deng. According to the NBA, NBA Africa will take charge of all of the league's business in the continent, including operating the newly formed Basketball Africa League, providing the necessary support for local governments seeking to build new basketball arenas, establishing corporate partnerships and expanding content and media rights. Africa is a growing market globally, and the NBA's relationship with the continent has grown in recent years, as illustrated by the ongoing 12-team Basketball African League in Rwanda. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver estimates the enterprise value for NBA Africa to be quote-unquote nearly $1 billion, with the organization already having business relationships in other continents. And Prince Nesta, and you're listening to special VOA Africa coverage of the Basketball African League in Rwanda. One African sportswoman who has been watching the Basketball Africa League games in Rwanda is Shola Shumala. She is the assistant coach of Nigeria's national women's basketball team and the former captain of the squad. In an interview with Ion Mike Mbonye, Shumala said the competition in Kigali will go a long way to grow basketball in Africa.
The first season of Basketball African League is here at last, and this means a lot to the development of basketball across the continent. This program has been designed to promote basketball in Africa, also to drive economic growth. Most importantly, to bring to limelight the best up-and-coming talent. You know, Africa has, as a continent, has a lot of potential that are yet to be seen, that are yet to be known. So Basketball African League is a great platform for them, you know, for these raw talents to be seen.
How popular is women basketball in Nigeria and Africa? And do you see any growth in the future?
Women basketball in Nigeria is so popular that almost all the states in Nigeria have their own basketball teams, and they will have a lot of stakeholders coming around to give their support to the game. FIBA Africa has grown to a point where almost every country in Africa has a team. So I can confidently tell you that basketball is like the second most popular sport, you know, behind football in Africa. Looking back to the recent performances of women basketball in Africa, you know, their performances at the World Cup, and you see that there's a lot of growth, there's a lot of development in women basketball. And I can confidently tell you that women basketball in Africa is ready right now to face the world.
Some basketball stakeholders have made a case for the creation of a basketball league for women basketball clubs in Africa. What's your take on this?
Creating Basketball African League for women in Africa is going to be a welcome idea. You know, it's going to be the biggest thing that will ever happen to female basketball in Africa. We'll have players playing alongside, you know, more games, and they're going to be playing alongside some bigger players, you know, that played in the world. They're going to play in a better facility, and you know, this great idea will actually boost African teams' performance at both World Championships and Olympic Games, where we've been struggling to make impact.
That's Shola Shumala, the assistant coach of Nigeria's national women's basketball team, and she spoke with Ion Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Lagos, Nigeria. VOA is the radio broadcast partner of the new 12-team league, a partnership of the U.S. National Basketball Association, NBA, and the Geneva-based International Basketball Federation, FIBA. Remember, you can also track the BAL tournament in Bambara, French, Kinyarwanda, Portuguese, and Wolof on VOA Africa, voanews.com, and our Facebook and Twitter accounts. I'm Prince Nesta, and you're listening to special VOA Africa coverage of the Basketball African League in Rwanda. Ion Mike Mbonye also spoke with American Natosha Cummings Prize, the head coach of Cameroon's national women's basketball team. Cummings Prize was recently in Abidjan, Ivory Coast, where she coached young players at the Jordan Water Elite Camp for boys and girls. Ion Mike asked her, what's your assessment of the camp?
My assessment is that it was a complete success. We had a total of 40 female basketball players and 60 male basketball players, giving us 100 players to work with. With two courts at time, it became a challenge, but not a challenge that the staff and I could not overcome. All of the players were placed in groups and rotated through fundamental stations. So overall, I believe that the instruction that was provided in each station, such as passing, shooting, footwork, ball handling, dribbling, the basic fundamentals that most basketball players sell themselves short on, we were able to provide complete detailed instruction and to help them understand the importance of mastering the fundamentals of the game of basketball. So therefore, we were able to see dramatic change and a difference in their game as they improved each day during the camp.
Did you see or discover budding talents at the camp? Any outstanding female player?
As a collegiate basketball coach, we're always looking for new talent and outstanding players. And some of the players that I identified at the camp was your shooting guard number 7, Deborah Kiki, and forward number 22, Kadita Tukita. They were extremely outstanding basketball players that would be, I know for me, an extreme success for my program if we were able to recruit them and bring them over to the United States. There were a few other players throughout the camp that showed some promise, and I know that over time they will continue to improve and get better.
What would be your advice to parents who are reluctant to allow their daughters play basketball?
For parents who are reluctant to allowing their daughter to play basketball, that's a tough question. I would have to ask the question as to why would you be reluctant to allowing your daughter to play the sport of basketball. Basketball provides more than just the ability to stay in shape and learn a great game that is really fun to play, but it also provides you with some life skills that you can take away from the game and utilize in the future, especially when you get your first job. In basketball, you know, you have to work together with your teammates. You have to work together with your coach. And sometimes you don't get along. Sometimes players don't get along. And sometimes coaches and players don't get along. However, at the end of the day, what we learned is that we don't have to like each other to work with each other for our end goal. And that end goal is to obtain that win or, you know, to obtain that championship trophy. In the workplace every day, we work with people we do not like. We work with supervisors that we may not approve of. However, at the end of the day, we have an end goal, and the end goal is to get the job done. So those are some life skills that, you know, I know personally I've taken away from the sport, as well as my own daughter, who right now is playing collegiate softball, and it's an opportunity that I have afforded to her. So I'm not only speaking from experience as a player and a coach, I'm also speaking from experience as a parent. You know, I have a daughter that's in college and a son that's in college, and my daughter chose to play a sport, and I think it's a wonderful opportunity for her. It's kept her focused on her academics and the sport. It has definitely kept her out of trouble and kept her on the right path academically. So for those parents who are reluctant, you know, I would advise you to at least give your child a chance and help them to understand the importance that when you choose to play that sport, there comes some responsibility.
That's Natosha Cummings Price, the head coach of Cameroon's national women's basketball team. And she spoke with Iron Mike Mbonyi on the telephone from Abidjan, Ivory Coast. The Basketball African League players in Kigali are following strict COVID-19 protocols, as we hear now from Samson O'Malley.
Kome Arnold Akola of Team FAP Cameroon speaks on the stringent COVID-19 protocols.
We need to follow those rules to be comfortable. If not, we are not going to participate in the competition. So our dreams will be down. Whereas our dreams is to play, so we have to follow the rules strictly to be able to play.
For Senegalese Louis Adams of AS Douanes, he was all tripping for the bubble arrangement as his team prepares to get onto the court.
Unbelievable. When we got here, we see the bubble. We used to hear bubble, but we came here now. We're seeing the bubble. I guess that's pretty much excited.
For the part of players of the Patriots BC who represent the host country Rwanda, the excitement can be heard, it can be felt, and can be touched.
I was like, we did it, because
everything we struggled for, now we got the prize. Yeah. The continent is excited to have something like this take off. There's so many guys in the NBA, African origin, and to bring it here now, we can show some talent on this end.
It's going to put the game to the next level, because now Africa is going to be on the map.
Basketball African League President Amadou Fall explains why each team at the inaugural edition of the BAL must have at least 8 local players and 4 foreign players on its roster.
It speaks to our focus on making sure that this league is about promoting players from the continent, and no matter what nationalities, every single country and every single team on the continent have an opportunity to play in the league. Yes, I think 10 African players per team, that's how the rosters are designed. And then we want to attract top global talent too. So those other two positions on the rosters is for that. Those players could come from anywhere else in the world, because yes, we want to provide opportunity for players from Africa, but at the same time, we are still inclusive and really global in the sense that we will welcome talent from anywhere else from around the world.
He breaks down how the champions of the inaugural edition of the BAL will be crowned on May 30th.
We'll have 12 teams, all 12 teams from 12 different countries in Kigali, a total of 26 games to crown a champion. 3 groups of 4 and the best 2 of each group will qualify automatically, and we will take the 2 best third place finishers to go to a round-robin phase of top 8, and winners go on and the losers go home, and we're looking forward to crowning a champion on May 30th in Kigali.
Staying with basketball news, Cameroon will host the 2021 Women's Afro Basket. The tournament will be played from the 17th to the 26th of September in Yaoundé. It will be the second time in 6 years after the 2015 edition that Cameroon will be hosting the competition. 5 countries, defending champions Nigeria, Senegal, Mali, Mozambique and host Cameroon have all qualified, as 7 more spots are up for grabs as the qualifiers continues.
Thank you, Samson O'Malley, for that package of basketball news. And that wraps up our May 26th pregame show. Thanks to the National Basketball Association, NBA, the International Basketball Federation, FIBA, and the Voice of America for making this broadcast possible. Special thanks to my halftime and postgame co-host, Super Producer Mukbili Abaru. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Prince Nessa on VOA Africa's Basketball African League pregame show.
Good evening, VOA listeners. This is Mukbil Yabaro, and you're listening to special VOA Africa coverage of the Basketball Africa League in Kigali, Rwanda. I'm here with my co-host Prince Nesta, and we're coming back to you with the second game of the quarterfinals, a rematch between AS Sally and Petro de Luanda. If this game was anything like the first, the Moroccan side will have their hands full. Hopefully they're able to make the correct adjustments that'll help them in this epic game. Before we get into this game, though, let's quickly mention the earlier game we covered, which was the Egyptian side Zamalek defeating AFP from Cameroon 82-53. Although the game was close in the first half, Zamalek dominated the second half and finished it off. Players to watch in this game will be the dynamic duo in Terrell Stoglin and Rashad James for the Moroccan side, and for the Petro side, it'll be the main man, John Pedro, alongside Antoine Scott and Cipriano, that was scorching hot from three the last time these two teams played. Prince.
Oh, titanic battle. Who will get into the semifinals? Who will blink first? This is actually pitting some of the best players in the tournament so far, Mukbil. Terrell Devon Stoglin of ASL and John Pedro of Petro. Will it be the speed, movement, ball distribution, lethal defense, shooting ability of the Angolans? Or will it be the 3-4-point firepower, adaptability, speed, and tenacity of ASL from Morocco? Well, we're in it for a great match. Fasten your seatbelt, sit back, relax, and enjoy the ultimate showdown, the one-of-a-kind historic match right here on The Voice of America.
Absolutely, and we will be back at halftime. The game has started. AS Sally gets their first bucket with Stoglin. We will be back on at halftime. This is Mukbil Yabaro and Prince Nesta.
The double team was not a committed one. You see the big there stepping back. Joakim, you got to stay in there with that guy. Let me talk about numbers while he shoots free throws here. These guys being, meaning Stoglin and James, they shoot about 49% of the twos for this team. So that's half of the shots, and almost 70%, 67% of threes for this team. As Marias misses the three ball, you got to find Stoglin or Rashad if you're going to be in a game against AS Saleh.
Hey, don't have a bad neck if you're going to watch this, because I tell you, it's end-to-end action already in the opening exchanges. That's what we want to see, and that's what we expect. AS Saleh, of course, a team who have come through as the Moroccan champions, but Petro de Luanda, I mean, they've got this coach Neto. He's an absolute masterclass Brazilian coach for the men's team and the women's team, of course, and we look at this guy coming through, and Dundao, youngest player in this squad, but absolutely lethal in attack. He's going to be a busy bee tonight, I think, with Stoglin on the court. And look at that, trying to go for a three-pointer, comes back off the ring.
Now, you talked about Neto. He's coached in Brazil, as you said, coached 2011 under-19 national team. As Dundao gets the foul, and he's also a workaholic. In talking to their leadership, Mbunga told me they really did extensive work in vetting the process and bringing in Neto. He's got a lot of history under his belt in term when it comes to basketball, and in fact, he's so much of a workaholic, we could only get a few words from him before he wanted to go back and prepare for this game with his ball club.
Yeah, I went for a stroll about 2 o'clock in the morning, so I couldn't sleep. He was actually sort of with a board, just doing his legs, sort of, you know, notes outside of the hotel.
You're kidding.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
You're such a joker.
That's why your nose was growing when you were saying that. That's called a Pinocchio. I'm so sorry. That is a Pinocchio. But you know, he's the kind of guy who actually does do that, I'm sure. This is fantastic for AS Saleh, looking to try and get themselves some more points. They got a three already. It's just inside of the perimeter, but it doesn't come good there for El Massini. And a drive through, and that doesn't get down the hatch.
Well, there's multiple guys that can do multiple things for Petro, as Stoglin shows a little defense there and creates the turnover. None better, really, than that core group. Paolo, number 34, Moraes, who turned it over there, number 33. As you see Stoglin with the pressure, and then Cipriano, number 32. Those guys are the core, and then the younger guys fill in around them. And then on the other side, for AS Saleh, Rashad, he'll get a lot of shots along with Stoglin. They take turns getting it done, Robbie, for this AS Saleh team.
Yeah, that's what it's all about, isn't it? The communication. That's a wonderful layup, isn't it? Nadja!
And that's Abdur-Rahim. He's the big stabilizer along with Adam El-Ghazi. And they will be the poles, if you will, for these two guards, Reyes Saleh.
That is a beautiful effort under and up there, coming in for a few points, a couple of points there, of course, for the very dangerous and the very talented Gonsalves, Justin Gonsalves. Neto just on the side, on the sideline, just giving out instructions in the early moments of this encounter as we see the big man Maja just trying to turn, trying to get himself the over the top shot. And they get the ball back, Petro.
Well, this is good, I think, for ASLA. As you see, the big-time drive and the finish there for Petro Goncalves.
I think he can juggle with four balls. He can. He's just got those skills. You can see it.
Yeah, you got to be crafty. And Gerson certainly has that in his game as Dundau gets it and comes off of the big.
Well, he's unlucky not to, he's too quick for himself, isn't he, Dundau?
Well, you took the words out of my mouth, exactly. You got to move at maneuverable speed. And there he looked like he even blew a tire. He went so fast off of the screen.
I think he's got jet boosters in his trainers, I think. Incredible acceleration. Ball comes back out, El-Ghazi.
Trainers, you have to update me on that. I need my Wikipedia to know what trainers are, man.
Oh,
he's using all these big words on me.
That's it. It's only an eight-letter word. No, sneakers, sorry.
But you're talking about length. I'm talking about size. That's a big word that I don't know how to apply it. I'm talking about girth, man, not length.
just don't go. We are moving forward. It's two for Petro and it's five for Sally, and a nice little drive there by Gonsalves, but good defensive play. That's really good from Nadja. He's had a good storming start to this opening few minutes here in Kigali. Good defense, very important. Speaking with the coaches earlier, of course, and just picking their brains, we get that little privilege of, oh, it's a wild pass that's gone out. Turnover ball, as you like to say, Lance.
Yeah, you like to say a wasted ball. So whatever it is, it goes the other way. ASLA missed opportunity as Stoglund holds a fist out to the left and the right. Looks like it's a screen either way as he inserts the offense to the bigs.
Now look at the players that they've got on. Johnny Pedro and Vander, of course, with the 41 on his back. Stoglund goes for three, and there's your big three-point effort there. Drained in a big way from the American.
Dangerous for Petro here. You do not want that guy to get hot. He's shown us that he can go off for 40, the first and only guy in the BAL to get 40 points. It took him quite a few shots to do it, but nonetheless, he can put it in the basket.
He definitely can. Johnny Pedro just going around in the paint looking for a little moment where he can just scoop that ball up and try and hit the target. Draws the foul, of course, as you can see. There's a lot of conversation between these guys. They're trying to understand each other. You know, you can see Johnny Pedro just talking with Moraes as we see the three-pointer just lifted and it just flew and it just soared and then it dropped.
Yeah,
get three.
Just really clean and confident this young man is right now.
Johnny Pedro at the free throw line. He's an absolute dream to watch. Picked up the MVP, of course, I think in the opening game. Maybe two of the three games, if my memory serves me right, which it doesn't do half the time. But in any case, an absolute delight to the eye. Johnny Pedro really is a very impressive player. 31 years of age and in his prime. He's already played for the Afrobasket, I think, in the under-19s category.
Yeah, and I'll tell you why he's impressive. He plays so well without the ball. He's had a game here in this league where he had 17 rebounds, 10 of them on the offensive end. This guy here is dangerous without the ball. He moves. You got to put a body on him.
Here he is.
Great ball player.
See, that is just what you expect there from that man, Stoglund. He's a menace. This is a good opportunity. 2-on-1. Oh, Vander didn't go for the alley-oop. Still got the ball. The defenders come back. Not just there, trying to just prevent him from getting his pass in. And he's left frustrated. Here goes Stoglund at the other end.
A great defense there by Adam El-Ghazi, getting a hand on that ball.
Nice. Two players trying to get in his way, and there's a good opportunity. Two against one. Is he going to go all the way? No, he's going to off the boards and in. That is sumptuous play, and you can see that he didn't have a chance, El-Ghazi, because he wasn't quick enough.
Yeah, and he did the right thing, I thought, letting him go. No need to commit a silly foul. They will need Adam in this game if they want to be able to compete against Petro for the entirety of the ball game.
Oh, there it is. Just he crept over the side of the line there, which is not good. And I think that we've got a little timeout. 4:38. It's 6 points for Petro de Luanda. And we've got 8 points for the Moroccans of AS Sally. We'll take a small little break. We'll be back for more fireworks very soon.
Light switch on. Getting up to greet the dawn. Suited up, shoes on. Ready to run the whole world. We are the spotlight. The strong light. The warm glow. Moving toward a future where the air is clean and the energy is green. Powering the engines of trains of thought. Linking what is to what could be. We are positive energy.
Luanda 6, AS Sally 8, and I think it's quite tactical out there already, Lance. But we're going to also bring in Asha, who's going to tell us a little bit about what she expects from this little battle taking place here. Asha, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you. Well, Petro de Luanda started very poorly there, but on offense, but they did well on defense to make sure that they're playing that zone very nicely, but also they've gotten Naja, the center of AS Sally, in foul trouble. Two already, quick on the clock, and he's off the court, and now they'll have fun in the paint.
Yeah, thanks very much, Asher. It's a good point, and they've got to be careful. Oh, that is sumptuous stuff, isn't it? Get it in there, Justin Gonsalves. Oh, muito obrigado.
Well, that is disrespectful to slam on a man like that. That's a grown man. He just did that too.
He's going to be weeping, isn't he? It really is a tough deal, isn't it? Brilliant stuff from Gonsalves. You can see the Petro Luanda. Ryan Rich is jumping out of his seat. Of course, they know that, you know, they're in a good place. Look at that. It's the one-handed, just getting it away from the defender there with the left hand. Nice little pivot as well. Getting clear of the defender. In she goes.
Well, that's just called getting dunked on. There was nothing about that. That was pretty defensively. A great job attacking the rim and finishing emphatically. Those kind of plays, Robbie, can really turn up the heat, which is why I think we are seeing the timeout. And Coach El Bouzidi, he knows the momentum that can be created when you have big dunks like that. Teams get their confidence, start poking their chest out. Also, Petro's doing a good job against Stoglin. They've adjusted. He often has three people around him once he gets the ball below the free throw line. Doesn't look like they want to give him much easy at the rim because of how dangerous he is, Robbie.
Very, very dangerous. And, you know, you've got to be really careful of you. Stoglin, what he's done for AS Sally, you know, it's not just him, but I know that, you know, he does stand out from the crowd. But the reason why they've actually got here is because they've worked around him and they've understood how he plays. You know, even if a player does get 40 points, you know, you can't just single him out as like the only player who's been great in a team. AS Sally have players who work really hard, and they'll come to the fore as well, and they'll be supporting him. You know, I wouldn't be surprised, Lance, if actually Ayersali don't have Stoglin as their top scorer and top player today. It might be some of the other players because they'll be tightly marking that danger man.
No question they'll have to keep an eye on him, but let's not forget about James. He can also get it done for this group.
It's a lovely chip in there from Vander. Vander finally gets his points on the scoreboard, of course. We got a 5-point lead. Ayersali needs to hit back. Oh, it's a turnover and a steal. And you can see that that's fantastic play. Gonsalves ripping the ball out of the hands of that the player over there. I think it was, in fact, James, yes. Yep. You just can't make mistakes like that. That's just, it's bad exposure.
Yeah, what that tells you is it's going to be a dogfight every single possession. Nothing easy for this Ayersali team.
Oh, that was nearly a fine three-pointer once again. And he'll want to get his range tonight because I think that up against the big boys of Petro de Luanda, it's going to be a little bit tricky at times.
Well, he averages over 30 points, averaging 31 points a game, so they know that's where Ayersali's bread is buttered.
Vander! Oh, there's another wrestling of the ball there with James, and that's really good perseverance. You've got to give him full credit there. Antoine Scott went for it, saw a little scrap, and tried to get his hands on it, and just look at that.
And Scott comes off the bench, and how good is he? I mean, a couple of games ago against FAP, he did a heck of a job from the floor and scored 23 points on 9-12 shooting. I mean, he was impressive, both from beyond the arc where he was 4-for-7 and then 9-for-12 inside of it. Incredibly dangerous player all over the floor.
Oh, look at that. And that's where the big guys come to the fore, isn't it? Johnny Pedro, if it's not Pedro, then it's Vander as well. Very keen to get themselves underneath the basket and get the rebound. And there's another battle here, and there's a 2-on-1. It's surely going to be in. Oh, he comes back and I think commits the foul. And that will be a pair of free shots, of course, because it was Kurechi who's just come off the bench making the block. For making the block illegally.
Yeah, and that was a foul. And it wasn't a bad foul. It might have been a good block, but I think it looked so violent, there was no way that a call wasn't going to be made there.
It's because he lost possession in the first place. You want to hit back. You got a point to prove, of course, and you're under the watchful eye of your coach, who's obviously going to be mildly perturbed by that steal.
Yeah, and I want to talk about a play a moment ago by Pedro, the catch for the rebound and the putback. I mean, he's very dangerous, Robbie, around the basket. He against AS Police, again, he had the 17 boards, 10 of them. That's 10 of them. I'm not exaggerating with that. We're on the offensive end of the floor, and that's because he moves so much and gets himself free. So you've got to put a body on him because he can single-handedly destroy you on that end of the floor if you don't get him around the boards. He loves to rebound the basketball.
He can single-handedly destroy you.
That's right. He's a little better than the Green Hornet, buddy. And that's a reference to last game. Robbie's hero, the Green Hornet.
Oh, come on. Let it go. Here we go. Kurechi going in the drive. He has a second chance there. The attempted tip in there coming to nothing from Jefferson. And at the other end, you got a 2 points there scored. Look at that from Carlos Morey.
Well, that has to start with the poor rebound by Jondre Jefferson. He's got to corral that ball and go up a little stronger playing against a tough team like Pedro.
There's a good three-point attempt there, just coming off the metal, and it's been stolen once again. Johnny Pedro with the rebound master of this Petro de Luanda team, the Angolan Giants, as they move forward. Moraes once again. Can Moraes raise the roof? Oh, he does it again! That's just absurd, Lance!
Yes, it is, and that's because Zachariah got caught with his hand in the cookie jar, watching like you and I, and Moraes made him pay dearly for another dot in the eye.
He's going to be a poor man if he's going to pay that much over the course of the game, unless he's going to turn things around, which I'm guaranteed that he probably will.
Yeah, well, he is. What'd you say the saloon was last game? What saloon are we in?
Oh, the Last Chance Saloon.
That's right. That's his last chance. Matt might not get many more of those. He'll be sitting on the bench. You don't want to give that man Moraes those kind of looks where he can just square right up to the basket at the elbow. You've got to stay connected to him in the half-court situation.
Bench situation. Ryan Richards comes off, comes onto the court, of course. You can see there's a couple of changes here. And with Johnny Pedro, Ryan Richards, the big guys, and, of course, the danger man.
This is arguably the deepest team in the BAL playoffs. Yeah. I mean, they can go really deep.
Yeah, something we talked about with Coach Neto just before the start of the game, of course, and he knows that he can rotate. And that was something that the coach for ASL also said. He said sort of, you know, we need to be able to rotate around Stoglin, because if we don't, then they will take advantage, and they need to bring on different players and freshen it up, but at the same time, keep check on the very dangerous bench. So it really is a game of chess out here tonight.
Yeah, basically what he's saying is we need other people to step up. Sometimes it's Adam who isn't on the floor right now. Sophian, Jandre, somebody has to, you're seeing, somebody's got to step up and get buckets.
There's the, oh, it's a three-pointer there from El Masbahi. A beautiful effort there just down that right side, pouring in for three and making it an eight-point game. Very well, that was very needed at that point.
Yeah, earlier in league play, Zachariah had an injury. He got himself well in his comeback. They will need his shooting to keep the floor open for Stoglin and James.
Good. Johnny Pedro gets the ball out to Richards. Richards being marked very tightly by Jefferson. He flung his arm up in the air, and I'm afraid you can't do that. And, of course, Jefferson just will accept that every day of the week.
Yeah, and Jefferson has a little reach. You see the reach there. And then Richardson got caught retaliating, if you will, trying to create a little space. I thought that was a little too violent in the way he swung back, if you will, to not get that call.
If you go down into the midnight zone in the oceans, you've got these, like, sort of long tentacled octopi, of course, and they got the same kind of reach as Jefferson, big time.
Oh, well, that, now you're talking about my guy, Submariner. If you want to go Marvel and you want to go into the waters,
we can do that.
Okay, I like that.
There you go. Stoglin out wide. There's a chance for three, but it's just come to nothing there. Lamassini once again trying to recuperate a few points to eat into that lead. Petro in command. We got a timeout, I believe, and we'll... sorry, timeout. I can't even look at the clock because I'm just so excited about what's going on here. Petro Landa leading by eight. It fell in. Oh, my word.
End of the first quarter, Petro de Luanda 20, ASL 12, Petro with the 8-point lead. This is Mukbil Yabaro with my co-host Prince Nesta. Prince.
Man, oh man. I told you, you can't beat a well-oiled machine. Petro, I mean, they're fantastic, excellent, like, you know, in all departments. They're really working out well. And, you know, Stoglin and, you know, the ASL players actually struggling, you know, because they just can't contain such a well-oiled machine. They're depending on individual players. That's the ASL side. And, you know, Petro, which is very good at reading games, they know this. And so they're doing all they can to frustrate ASL.
Man, absolutely. They're doing everything that they need to do correctly. Petro is definitely having a lot better first half than they did in the first game that these two teams played. And yeah, I'm liking how they've made the adjustments. You would have thought with AS Sally having lost the initial game that these two teams played, that they would have come out with more enthusiasm. You would think that they would come back and understand what it is that the mistakes that they did and what not to do, you know? But for whatever reason, it seems as though Petro are the ones with the adjustments to add on to the victory that they had. They won by 19 points the last time these two played, you know?
But it's, you know, it also, I don't read too much into, you know, the first quarter, because that's, in my experience in basketball, first quarters can be very deceiving, you know? Remember, FAP was leading, That's where a lot of analysis actually usually happens and stuff. And so different coaches know how to adapt to the rest of the game through first quarter. So I won't really be harsh on ASL, especially in the first quarter. But let's wait and see how this is going to turn out. I have a feeling because both teams are actually good in second half. They're second half teams. Mm-hmm. But let's just wait and see how the second quarter is going to be.
We absolutely will see that. And we will be back on at halftime. This is the beginning of the second quarter. AS Sally 12, Petro de Luanda 20. This is Mukbil Yabaro and Prince Nesta, and we are with you for the special VOA coverage of the Basketball Africa League. Let's get back to the game.
97-78, but they had a similar point differential in the first quarter. 8 this game, 7 the first game. This was the quarter, though, that AS Sally got it going, and they ended up having only, they being Petro, only a 2-point lead going into the half.
It just goes to show it's a tight tussle, isn't it? But AS Sally can't allow Petro to just run away and control this. Gonsalves gets the ball back. We've got a couple of changes. You can see that Paolo, look at that, look at that. Where did that come from?
Well, that's just a young fella, like you're seeing, giving too much space to a guy that can be pretty much a sniper at times. You got to crowd him and force him to put the ball on the floor.
Hey, that's really good work from Richards. This is an easy one for Paolo! And the Angolan fans just behind us are literally dancing in their boots. They're just jiving, they're moving, they're grooving. They're having an absolute party here because 25-12 with 8:40 left in half. That's a lot of time and a lot of points.
Well, ASL better phone home and get some help really quick, because right now they're struggling to get anything on the offensive end, and they can't get a stop. As we talked about earlier, defense is important. You're going to beat or be in a game against Petro. They have so many guys. That's from long range, parking lot level.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, that was a remarkable long distance show, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's a little bit of a heat check by Stoglund. I haven't gotten a shot in a while, so you know what? I'm just going to take it. They get fortunate. And Ryan Richards commits the foul under the basket, so it'll be AS Ali who brings it in underneath.
Beautiful 3-pointer there that you saw on the replay. And AS Sally need to get some points on the score, but their defense is just incredible at the moment, Petro, because they are just not letting anything go through. It's there's a lot of traffic there in the paint, but AS Sally finding it really complicated.
Well, it is complicated, but these kind of situations where you keep getting fouls called can help you stop momentum. All you need is a couple of more stops and potentially a basket on this end, and you get an opportunity to shift the momentum back into your favor. AS Sally does.
They win the ball back. And they've got the hands on it with Cipriano. Of course, Cipriano, 39 years of age. Not as old as Sliman, of course. One of the, he is the older. Oh, how about that? One fantastic three-pointer there coming from James out of the right-hand side. They needed that. They planted some trees.
Well, that's the other scoring mate to Stoglund. Those two, everything happens through them offensively. They're the anchors, and you don't want to want either one of them to get it going on the offensive end, Robbie.
No, absolutely. Here he is working really, really hard. That is just persistence, if I've ever seen it, from Paolo. A very experienced player who's been with Petro for such a long time, like a lot of these players, of course. James has got the ball just on the edge of the perimeter, wants to get it back to one of his players. The shot clock is going down. He's finding it really complicated to get a decent pass, and goes for the shot, misses the target, picked up comfortably by Petro.
Well, he was crowded by Paolo. He thought maybe he should get a foul. If those two are guarding each other, it's a little bit of a mismatch. People will go at James because of the size differential.
I think it is that Richards going into the AS Sally player. I think that.
Yeah, so Finn, he got hit. He's asking for a sub as he limps off of the court.
How about that for a bucket?
At multiple positions, Robbie, Petro has the size difference. That's why you're seeing these isolation situations. They're just trying to
try and say that 5 times in a row.
Isolation situations. Time three, man. Come on, man. I'm trying to make a buck here and do the right thing, and you trying to put me on blast. I can speak English. It doesn't come from my country, but we can speak it, buddy. You're the best.
You've just been done with the Green Hornet.
Yeah, the Green Hornet is going at the Silver Surfer.
Madness.
We got a fight here in the booth.
Some madness that we churned out in the previous match that we've moved on from, but we might reference it once or twice throughout this game. Back to the business. Let's talk about Antoine Scott, very important player.